You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing from iHeartRadio. If you turn on your device or television or go to the movies, you're likely to have the good fortune of enjoying the work of my guest today. Who else has such a prolific output? A starring role in a Coen Brothers movie one moment and a cameo in a network sitcom, only one of the hardest working people in show business, Richard Kind. Kind single-handedly redefined the term character actor. Memorable roles on Spin City and Curb Your Enthusiasm exploit his killer comedic timing, while HBO's Luck and the Oscar-winning Argo exercise his dramatic chops. He lends his voice to animated films like Cars and Inside Out, and then graces the stage as a Tony-nominated Drama Desk-winning theater actor. And his stage resume is deep. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, The Tale of the Allergist's Wife, Candide, and Kiss Me, Kate. He even starred as Max Bialystock in the iconic Mel Brooks musical, The Producers.
Kiss me, squeeze me, touch me, love me. What are they in The Producers?
Hold me, touch me.
Hold me, touch me. You played that part.
I did.
Where did you do that part?
Broadway and the Hollywood Bowl. And Mel wants me to do it in London.
Now, Broadway, I mean, after they, when they left, you came on, or?
I did it for Asians and Iowans, because they got all of the New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Then Steven Weber, and it was Henry Goodman, and then Brad Oscar did it for a while. And they got some of the New Yorkers who couldn't afford the expensive seats and got smart people from all over the country, from cities. And then when there's nobody left...
You came in to mop
That's
it up.
That's when I came in.
You came in to close the show.
I sort of did. I didn't close it, but I did it with about 8 different Leos. Whenever there was a Leo that was going to go out on the road, they would put him in for 3 days to see what he was like with me.
Yeah.
And I would test him. And there was one guy, he's a lovely, lovely guy, Patrick, and I can't remember his last name. He is a Broadway stalwart. And so he's built like a brick shit
Patrick
house.
Cassidy?
No. He's playing Leo.
He's right for the Leo.
No, nobody you would know.
He's built like a brick shit house and he's playing Leo?
And he's playing Leo. And at the end of the act, I put my arm around him, and go, we're going to do it. We'll do it like that. And I go, oh my God, this guy could pummel me. But he's been in 20 Broadway shows. He's a real stalwart, but he's a guy, there's a lot of people on Broadway who are more known as understudies because they can do every sort of role.
Sure.
They're in the cast,
they're
the swings, they can do everything. And you have great talents, and they will not raise them up to the role of performer, and they should be. They mistakenly keep themselves in constant employment as swings, and they don't have the ambition to rise above. And I think that's an interesting person.
I found and I'm sure you've found over these many years, that for some of them, certainly not all of them, it's about geography. They don't want to leave town. There's things they could go do that could maybe help their career, whatever it may be, TV, films, or shows, but they want to stay in New York. They don't want to leave wife, kids. Yeah, I remember them doing soaps. We used to call Upper Montclair, New Jersey, the soap opera Riviera.
Oh, that's very
funny.
They
all lived out there and came in. And it was about families.
I believe that, but no, I don't totally agree with you. I'm sorry. And right off, we
don't
get contentious. No, they want to stay in a position. Maybe they do have families, and that is why they are complacent about their ambition.
So complacency is to blame for their careers.
I think it is. They work all the time. Yes, it's complacency, but it's not fear of travel because a lot of them go on the road. There's a lot more money to be made on the road. You get per diem and you get paid.
The moment you walked in, I knew you and I were going to have the kind of conversation I call the log rolling conversation.
What is that?
One of us is going in the water. Guess which one's going to go in the water? Which one of us is going to get tossed in the water?
Now, all right, but I'm right about this.
I'm going to defer to you on everything.
Now, still dry.
We also concluded, my producers and I, who work on the show with me, we also concluded that this podcast is the only thing in show business you haven't done yet. This is this one show. Right, you've done everything but this show.
It's crazy. I know I should be much wealthier. I do everything. I have said this before. I am the Costco of acting. I come in quantity and I come cheap. And that's what
it is. Like toilet paper.
Like toilet paper.
Bulk.
Yes, instead of buying 12 rolls at the CVS,
get a case.
You get 26 for the same price. Yes,
now,
that's me.
When you were a child, New Jersey.
Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My dad was head of store in Princeton, New Jersey.
Oh, he was in Princeton, Western New Jersey there.
Yeah, but I was
on the way to.
Yeah, we were right across the river.
Right, the point is that you're there. What was, because I'll just preface this by saying, when I was a kid, and there was only network TV, no streaming, no
movies,
HBO, there was network TV.
Yeah.
And yeah, I watched a little Alfred
You
Hitchcock.
Call it network TV. I call it Channel 2, Channel 4, and Channel 7.
Yeah, right, 247.
Yeah, okay, good.
And OR, PIX,
yeah,
and NEW.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we would watch the $1 million movie five times a week. Monday through Friday was a same one every week. What was the theme song for Million Dollar Movie?
From Gone with the Wind.
Thank you very much. Okay, please, let's go on. We're both on the log right now.
Come on, you're lobbing softballs to me here. Now, wait a second. I'm going to get you with that in a minute. But when I was a kid, it was all like, there were some dramas and whatever, but I watched F Troop and Gilligan's Island and all this crap all the time, and I dream of Genie. I watched network comedy.
But I knew it
and
all.
And that was my roots.
And I knew the TV Guide, and at that time, I had my finger on the pulse of America and what they liked. And it was a big slap in the face when I thought that I knew about things, and I absolutely didn't.
How so?
Okay. Who wants to be a millionaire?
Right.
Who's going to watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Right.
It's Jeopardy with seven questions.
Right.
I said, nobody's going to watch this. Biggest hit in the world.
Right.
That's what it was to me. And I go, it can't be.
I did a charity episode of that. Yeah.
You did. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. I was the first person to ever win $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you
how. Who was the host? Regis?
Regis.
Oh, my God.
No, I'll tell you how. It was an ABC show, and my character from Spin City goes on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I win $1 million. And nobody who had won $1 million had been broadcast yet.
A.
A? Really?
No. Okay. No. C. D. D.
You sure?
Yes, D. B. B.
B is your final answer.
A.
D. D. B. C. D. A. D.
So I was the first person. I wasn't. Paul Lasseter from Spin City was the first person. And the thing, you know, and it had hardly been on. And there were some people who's.
So you have a lot of confusion between yourself and your character. You don't distinguish between
them. This is how good I am.
I won.
This is how good I am.
But really, it was Paul Lasseter.
I immersed myself.
I kissed Elizabeth Taylor, but really, it was. Paul Lasseter.
Okay. But I'll tell you something else. Do you remember when Farrah Fawcett had her poster out, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger said, I will be bigger than Farrah Fawcett at the time.
And we all snorted.
And I said, who the hell does this idiot think that he is? I was wrong.
Yeah.
I thought I had my finger on the pulse. I don't know what there was a day that happened.
But that continues today. I'm at a party the other day, and Greta Gerwig is there with Baumbach.
Right.
And I said to them, if I could go back, and if I could have one wish, my wish would be I go back in time while you were filming, and I'd say, Barbie's going to earn $1 billion worldwide. Right. Oh. And take all comers, take all bets.
Exactly.
Cover every bet.
Yeah.
And they looked at me like, wow, that's a weird thing to say.
Okay. I was at a poker game with a guy, a friend. So he's at the poker game and says, my wife has been asked to write a pitch for the Lego movie. At which point, seven guys start making fun of the Lego movie.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know which piece to put here. Do I put a long rectangle or do I put a square here? Yeah. What do I do?
The adult
all of a
film.
Sudden, yeah. Yes, all of a sudden, 3 or 4 or 5 years later, the Lego movie comes out and it's huge. But can you imagine coming to a table and saying, we're going to make a movie about Legos? And we just laughed.
My career, I make a movie with my ex-wife. We decide we want to work together. We weren't really very fussy about what we were doing, not fussy enough. But we get our hands on this, the original script that Walter Hill wrote for The Getaway with Steve McQueen. And we decide we're going to do a remake of The Getaway. I want to do an action film. I hadn't done one in a while. And we're going to go to Arizona and do The Getaway. And Walter Hill leaves because they wouldn't give him enough money to make the movie. And then we go do it with Roger Donaldson. And the point is that we come out, and I don't have high hopes. I mean, it's we're doing a remake, which is always dicey. And the movie comes out, but we're up against the movie. I looked at my ex-wife and I said, we're in. We scored.
Okay.
We're up against this movie. We're opening weekend against this movie, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, what the fuck is Ace Ventura? And then the rest is history. The rest is history.
Yep. Who knows?
Who knows?
Wait, I do not have my pulse.
But your childhood.
My childhood, I knew everything.
Movies, TV.
I knew everything.
You watched a lot of TV.
Well, Dick Van Dyke. By the way, who did I have breakfast with this morning? Bill Persky.
Bill Persky. Oh, God.
Who created, well, he didn't create, but he wrote the lion's share of Dick Van Dyke shows. And he quoted an episode that Howie Morris did. And I go, yes, and I started filling in the blanks with, because I remember Dick Van Dyke show, Get Smart. Get Smart was manna to me. That's what I was raised on. Soupy Sales was manna to me. I was raised on Soupy Sales. I got a funny story about it, but I'll tell you later. But Soupy, I went to his funeral over at the Campbell Hall. But I had never met him before.
Oh.
It's just I read the obit and it says it's at the Campbell Hall. I'm going
Frank
over.
Frank Campbell?
Over on 77th or whatever.
The funeral parlor.
It is the funeral.
Yeah.
It is the funeral parlor.
To the stars, yeah. But you went to Soupy's thing. I mean, to me, it's like, who's the other one? I remember Soupy's. I mean, I would sit home. I mean, I would lie to my mother. And I didn't do this like all the time, but I did it enough times, believe me. I almost got in trouble for this. And I would say to my mother, I'm sick. And I realized my mother was lonely. My mother put all of her kids in school, and her husband was gone all day, and she was lonely. So she let me stay home from school to have a companion.
That's nice.
Literally.
And what did you do? Did you watch movies?
I watched Hollywood Squares, and I watched Paul Lynde. I learned half of my acting from Paul Lynde. Paul Lynde taught me how to act.
Have you done Hollywood Squares?
I did Hollywood Squares.
When Whoopi?
I did Millionaire. I did Hollywood Squares with Whoopi, and it was for charity. What's his name, King? That owned the show.
Yeah.
So King was very kind to me and knew that my charity, my mother's foundation for breast cancer, my mom passed away last year, but she had a breast cancer foundation housed at SUNY Stony Brook, and then we got a chapter upstate where she moved to. And so a lot of beneficiary, Danny Wegman from Wegman Supermarkets, very kind to my family, and King gives me $250,000 to do the show. So I go on, dude, you give me $250,000 to do 1 week of the show with Whoopi. I go, I have a ball. I do Millionaire, I have a ball. I mean, and then I host Match Game. For those 3 years, we did Match Game. And someone would say to me, oh, of course, in this way that my career is like a very blurry Polaroid here, I do this, I do this, I do this. They're like, well, another coffin in Alec Baldwin's career casket. And I think to myself, well, I did it for the money. I did it for the charity thing to give the money away. But then I couldn't hold back the truth, which was I had more fun doing that than a lot of other things
I loved
I've done.
I loved them.
I loved doing Match Game.
Yeah.
We had a ball.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I was on Spin City, I was approached to do special episodes of America's Funniest Home Videos. So I did a Christmas show. It was an hour show, and I said, I will do it, but I don't want to do it like Bob Saget. I don't want the fireplace. I don't want the audience. I don't want me talking, and making these stupid jokes. I'll narrate the films, but I'll host by introducing the clips, but I don't want to be funny. They did. Plasma TVs were first invented. I said, let's have them on poles. I wore a black turtleneck. I hosted it for an hour. highest rated America's Funniest Home Video special that they ever had.
Richard Kind. If you enjoy conversations with inspiring comedic actors, check out my episode with one of Richard Kind's earliest co-stars, the legendary Carol Burnett.
In that era, the only one who really would speak up was Lucy. She was very strong.
Right.
But it's not in my nature to
take over,
confront,
right,
or anything. You know, like if a sketch wasn't working or something, instead of like Gleason or Sid would say, look, guys, this stinks. Now, come on, you got to fix it. Blah, blah. You know, they would do that. I would say, I'd call the writers down into the rehearsal hall and I'd say, you know, guys, I'm not doing this too well. Do you think maybe you could help me out with a different line here or there? Because, you know, otherwise I would have been a bitch.
To hear more of my conversation with Carol Burnett, go to hearsthething.org. After the break, Richard Kind shares his experience landing a job with the one and only Carol Burnett.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
I'm Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing. If you feel there is no dramatic or comedic role Richard Kind can't inhabit, you might be right. With over 270 film and television credits to his name, it seems like the profession was built for him. I wanted to know if Kind always knew that the field of acting was his destiny.
No.
So that's law school.
Show business was made for other people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I felt the same way.
No, but I'm an actor. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
My father said he wanted me to go to law school, business school, to take over his store.
And then you went to Northwestern, great law school, for 1 year?
No. I went to Northwestern undergrad. I was accepted to U of P Law School, and I deferred it. My dad's best friend, he said, try acting because you'll be resentful of your children and your wife.
You'll never be young again. Do it.
Yeah. So try it.
Young enough. So you didn't go to law school for a year?
I didn't go to law school at all. I deferred. Okay. No, never went to law school. My first year, I took acting classes with a guy named Bud Beyer. Bud Beyer, during one class, he knew my parents. Met them and liked them, and that I was supposed to go into law school. He put me on stage in a chair, and for 45, 50 minutes, he berated me for not having the courage to become an actor. A coward, everything like that. And I said, it's just what I was made to do. I was supposed to go into my dad's store. It's all there for me. Have 2.5 kids, belong to the country club. And then it was in February. We were watching a football game with Steve Holzman in our living room, January, February. And during the commercial, he said, you should defer law school and try it. And like I said, 1 year turns into two. And then I just never went.
And how did you try? You went to school for it? You went to Second City?
No.
Where was Galati, a professor of yours?
Galati was great. Did you know him?
I knew of him, yeah.
Oh, Galati was great. Galati at Northwestern, I went to him probably my junior or senior year, and I said, I want to be an actor, but, you know, I think that I should be going to law school and business school so I can go to my dad's store. He said, well, why don't you become a producer? So then you get the business. I go, no. I become an actor, or I become rich at my dad's store. It's one or the other. It wasn't, I just want to be in showbiz. I want to be an actor. And I told him that. And he goes, well, you're not going to work until you're 32 because you don't have the face for what Hollywood wants. So go out there, get good. And then at age 32. Galati said that to
me.
Yeah. And I did. I came to New York. I had HB Studios. I worked at, the saloon?
Right.
I opened the saloon. Okay. Oh, it's now a Bed Bath & Beyond,
I opened Toots Shores. Anyway, go ahead.
You didn't. No, okay, but I did. I was a waiter. I was a waiter at the saloon with Jennifer Grey, who I later became my wife in a TV series. So we all worked there, and I took classes at HB Studios. I did all off-Broadway plays. I did a play called Take Death to Lunch with Lonnie Price. I did a great play that sounds like it shouldn't be, The Day the Whores Came Out to Play Tennis by Arthur Copit, who later became a friend of mine.
The Arthur Copit?
Arthur Copit.
Great play.
In fact, Arthur, he wrote Oh Dad, Poor Dad about a little, 5'4" stutterer. Yeah. Okay, so one day Arthur
Copit. Mama's in the closet and she's feeling so bad.
That is correct. So one day I'm doing a play at Bay Street. He comes backstage to say hello. I'd never met him. And he's 6'4", handsome as all get out, looked like a baseball player. And he comes up and he shakes my hand. He goes, I'm Arthur Copit. And I go, no, you're not. I couldn't buy it. It's a stud. And he wrote about a little stutterer. So I just did all of those things. I went on the road with, PART, Performing Arts Repertory Theater?
No,
Children's
no.
Theater, now known as Theater Works, playing Blackfish the Indian with Daniel Boone, 36 dates in 5.5 months. And I had these braids and the makeup and everything. And one day we played this elementary school and all the kids are going, I want to see the Indian. And I had my makeup off and everything and they come out and all their faces were just, they were crestfallen. I go, sorry,
I'm the Indian.
I'm the Shapiro tribe.
Right.
And then I just, did you know Practical Theater Company? Ever hear of that?
No.
In Chicago. Second City, next door to Second City, was a little space called the ETC, which had people from Second City who were, in the touring companies and on the upper way. And they started a company called Practical Theater Company. I went from New York to Chicago to do a show at their place. Second City saw me in that. I went on Second City. And then I went to Hollywood after 4 years, 4.5 years.
What year?
88, 89. Yeah, right.
When you get there, what was that like for you at your age?
I'm stupidly, I like auditioning.
Right.
I love auditioning. An artist can work alone, a writer can work alone, but an actor, you go in front of a mirror, you can't do it alone. You gotta act in front of people. So I loved pilot season. Uh-huh. I loved it. You go into these rooms, there's old friends. It's not in New York, you pass old friends. In L.A., you see them in the audition room. I used to have pilot season after pilot season. I didn't really because I usually got the job. I don't mean to be like that, but during the pilot season, I got
a pilot.
They wanted the funny.
That went to series.
Right.
I was just lucky.
Yeah, and talented.
But my first show was a drama, because when I came out of Second City, I said, I don't want people to think of me as just funny. I want them to know I can act. So I did a Stephen Cannell show called Unsub. I call it Unsub What Unsub, because I say Unsub What Unsub. So it was
what
short,
did that mean?
Short for unknown subject.
That was the name of the show, Unsub?
Unsub.
It was like, why don't they just drive the fucking camera truck into the lake?
You're right.
My God.
But the word unsub, they were chasing unknown subjects. Whenever I see Peter Roth, you remember Peter Roth from Warner Brothers? Whenever I see Peter Roth, he hugs me, he goes, we were the first. We were the first procedural. And I'm not kidding.
Unsub.
Unsub. Because usually police shows went into their private lives. This was only about what they were doing.
The crime.
The crime.
The work.
Now, here was the first episode. Are you ready?
Yes.
Paul Guilfoyle, wonderful actor.
Love Guilfoyle.
Okay. Guilfoyle plays a cobbler, a shoemaker, who puts razor blades in the heels of women's shoes. When they try them on, they bend over in pain, and he stabs them in the back of the neck with an awl. Okay, so this is in the 80s, okay? So he comes running home to his mother, Grace Zabriskie, the great Grace Zabriskie, who's lying in a bathtub with her legs spread, and he comes in, he goes, Mother, Mother, I've done something bad. Okay, this was the first episode.
Yeah.
Brandon Tartikoff had gone to lunch with Stephen Cannell. He had two writers, Steve Cronish and, oh, I can't remember the other guy's name. And they had created a show called Wise Guy. So Cannell goes to Tartikoff and says, I got a show for you about the guys who chase serial killers. He thought he was getting, A-team. He thought he was going to get another A-team.
Right. Pity the fool.
He sees the first episode with the killer. It happens to see it the night after Geraldo Rivera had a show on about witchcraft. It was on NBC. And the reviewers said, this is the bottom of network TV. It can never go lower. And Tartikoff is getting attacked. He sees this episode the next day in the screening room. Midway through, he stands up and he goes, what the fuck are you trying to do? Bring down this network single-handedly? So Cannell knew the show was off, but we did 11 episodes.
How was the Carol Burnett experience?
Oh, that was the greatest.
Was it great?
Well, let me tell you about Carol Burnett. I worship her.
Yep.
So I go in for the audition. I had done a show called An Episode of Anything But Love with Jamie Lee Curtis and Richard Lewis. And the producer of that says, you know, he's great. Instead of the casting director coming out to get me, and I'm the only one there out in this hallway. Instead of the casting actor going, Richard, come on in. Carol Burnett comes out to the hallway and says, Richard, come on in, let's play. And I said, well, that's how you run Hollywood. Mm. We hear you're good. Let's see your best. Not come on in and show us. Show us what you can do. It's come on in and let's play. Let's see if we can have you at your best. And I went in, I read with her, and she, of course, is gracious, of course, has showed her kindness. And I said, all right, I will.
Actor Richard Kind, if you're enjoying this conversation, tell a friend. And be sure to follow Here's the Thing on the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, Richard Kind shares one of the best pieces of acting advice he's ever been given.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Alec Baldwin, and you're listening to Here's the Thing. We all know and love Richard Kind's long-running characters, Paul Lasseter from Spin City and Cousin Andy from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Another role Kind is famous for is that of Dr. Mark Devineaux on Paul Reiser's Mad About You, but surprisingly only for its first season.
Well, I got fired.
You're fired.
Without knowing it. I started off as a recurring character. We were on every episode, and we said, well, you got to make us a regular. There's a big difference in pay.
Sure.
So after about six episodes, they made us regulars. And then we asked them in April, am I going to be coming back? Yes, of course. I go do the Music Man out in North Carolina in summers because I always do theater during the summer. So I'm guaranteed I don't have to go make a lot of money because I got a show on the air. I get a call from Paul's manager that I'm not coming back. And I start to cry. Mm. It's on a payphone where I'm living out in North Carolina that, you know, we're sharing the, and I get a phone call and I go, what, why? And they go, well, we just don't think that you're working on it. I was the only person who was let go. And I said, I don't understand. And they go, well, we just don't think that you're right now for the show. And I didn't call Paul, but then Danny, who was a great guy, but he did not stand up for me. He thinks I'm funny. He thinks I'm great, but he did not stand up for me. And they.
This is who?
The guy who created the show with,
got,
with
got
Paul.
Got it. Okay, good. Got
and
it.
Paul and I have made up with both of them.
Yeah.
In ways that we didn't even properly make up, but I should be mad at both of them.
Well, listen. I was the biggest movie star in the world at that time. Wanted me to do a movie with him, and there was another guy they wanted. They had cast this guy, and then he couldn't. There was a conflict in his schedule. He couldn't do the movie. The TV show he's doing wouldn't let him out. So they call me, and they go, it's you. It's you, Bubala. The director, the writer, the producer, the star, they call me. Oh, they're all in a conference
call. Verbal blowjob.
They're all in a conference call. Oh, through the phone. Oh, my God. And I'm sitting in my car in, like, West Hollywood. I'm going to go buy, like, T-shirts in some fucking store there on Melrose. And they call me and go, it's you. And my agent goes, it's you. They're going to do the movie with you. Within a week, nobody calls me. Nobody says, they say, you're out. They blow my deal. They completely dynamite my deal because the guy, they make him available. The other guy comes back again, which was their desire. And you never want a director looking down the lens wishing somebody else was there. I've been there before.
I don't like it. I mean, on a series, you can't quit, but they can fire you.
Right. Now, when you go, this is always intriguing to me because when I did 30 Rock with Tina,
yeah,
you know, Tina was the one who, in whatever language she used, she impressed upon me, the network's harder. It's harder. To make it funny on network, you can't say fuck, the girl can't come out of the cake
she's
with no
right.
top
she's
on.
Right. She's right.
It's, cable and streaming are a different fish. And to make it really funny and edgy on network is harder. Your career transitions, Carol Burnett and Mad About You and Spin City for years, and then you go into Curb. Describe that arc for me. Do you miss the old ways, or do you like being able to say whatever you want to say on streaming TV?
Gee, that's an interesting question that I don't know whether I can answer. Like, I just did an episode of Night Court. I don't think you need to say whatever you're referring to
right.
in order to be funny.
Sure.
But I will tell you where I did miss it. Is right now I like doing single camera better than four camera. So having just done Night Court, which I enjoyed, and the cast is phenomenal, and the show's funny, everything like that. But I did a show called East New York last year,
mm-hmm.
which was well-regarded, highly rated. The cast, Jimmy Smits, Amanda Warren, if you know Amanda. It's a great, great cast. I missed cursing there.
You did?
Yes, I did. Though
it's real.
But for network, it was as gritty as a show could be, a la NYPD Blue, because it was written and created by an NYPD Blue alum, a guy named Bill Finkelstein.
So you think it warranted that?
It should, but it's network TV, and, right. And there are certain FCC rules.
That's a dramatic show.
But it was, oh yeah.
I'm not just saying this to be kind. There are people who I think are very funny, who you'd see that they had I see what I see. This is a very subjective process. But, I mean, where you take Matthau, and Matthau is a comic genius, yeah. And he plays it straight. I put you in that category. Well, you can do anything.
You're very kind.
You can do it because you're commanding, you're articulate, you're beyond funny. But, I mean, you drive. We used to say on 30 Rock all the time, you give the scene the stick to the end.
Oh, that's a, yes.
You give this, we don't pause. People are like, we've got to keep driving, driving.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And you have that velocity and that pace of a very smart person. And I put you in that category where you can do the drama as well.
Well, I recently
Why don't you
did.
Do more drama?
Who the fuck is going to hire me?
Somebody smart.
Well, that's right. But you don't always get that in Hollywood. Now, here's something that I did do, and we're trying to shop it now. I should send it to you. It's called Hitman. Do you know who Lawrence Block is?
Yes.
Lawrence Block wrote a series of books, three books called Hitman. Each chapter is a hit. But it's a guy who looks like me, maybe lives on 38th between 2nd and 3rd.
Murray Hill.
Exactly. A guy who you would...
Turtle Bay.
And is a killer the way some guys are plumbers and some guys repair cars. He knows that the hit's going to be done. It's not that he's amoral. He just does his job. And that's the kind of character it is. There is not a funny moment in it.
Are you going to do it, you think?
We did a 20-minute pilot, and it's pretty good. Friends of yours, Peter Riegert, Karen Allen, they're both in it.
I worship Karen.
Oh, she's the best. A great, beautiful, funny, nice,
I love Riegert as an actor, too, but I worship
Karen. Yeah, and Bill Sadler, you know Bill Sadler?
Yeah, of course.
You know, but they're in it. And I am very quiet and not loud and serious, and it's
straightforward.
Very good.
Let's talk about Big Knife. Who invited you to the party there? You weren't involved with Joanne when they did it in Williamsburg.
Yes, I did it with Joanne. And Joanne,
and who was the lead?
Joanne wanted you.
Who played the part?
Scott Cohen.
Played the lead role?
Yeah. Yeah. And was wonderful. And Chris Reeves' wife, Dana.
Dana.
And she was magnificent. She was great. I thank God. She had no idea. You talk about taking a gamble. She had no idea who I was. No idea in the world. So I go to Paul in her apartment. And I go up there, and that's where I read. And I read the thing. And thank God she didn't know me from Mad About You or Spin City or any of that stuff, so that I could be this character. And I came in as a blank slate. And she gave me the job. I couldn't believe it.
Do you know, when I'm doing 30 Rock and we get toward the end and I, this was
and
six.
How did Tina ask you to do it? Why?
I think that she jokingly said something to Lorne about me, or he said something. It's always between the two of them.
Yeah, but Lorne knows how funny you are.
And Lorne wanted me to come. He said, would you come and do the show? And I did not want to do a series because I was getting divorced and my daughter was in L.A. Uh-huh. And she was very young. And Lorne said, I'll make the schedule suit you. You'll be able to go to L.A. every weekend or every other weekend.
Great.
So they made the schedule very convenient for me. It was almost a joke. And I went and did the show. I remember toward the end, I mean, there were many moments that was just very affecting to me throughout. I mean, many that I thought to myself, these guys are just the funniest writers. But toward the end, I'm sitting there and they go, we want to ask your ex-wife. They're going to have Kenneth the Page. Jack Donaghy makes him the president of NBC Universal. I'm going to make him the president, and his father has died, and his stepmother's going to fly up to New York from Georgia to visit him, and it's my ex-wife, Kim Basinger, is going to play the part. And they're going to have me fall in love with his stepmother and marry my ex-wife on the show.
Jesus.
And Kenneth becomes the president, and he becomes my step-son-in-law. And the way this all came together, I was in tears laughing how amazing this was. But then Kim didn't want to do the part.
Kim just said no.
She just said no.
All right, I'm going to tell you something. I once got the great honor of introducing you at some benefit of some sort. And I remember saying, I can't say to your face because we're peers, we're friends, and you don't do that. But you are phenomenal.
Oh, you're very kind.
You're great. And this was years ago, and you're only greater. This is before you did 30 Rock.
Right.
You are precise. You are great. You are just dead on. It's enough that you're handsome. It's enough you're charismatic. You're so good in the roles that
no,
you
please
are.
Please don't go.
But that you are so good at podcasts. The episode you did on the garbage.
Uh-huh. That was a good one.
I've listened to it 3-4 times. Yeah. I tell everybody to listen to it. It is so fascinating.
What's been more difficult for you? The lifestyle and what it's done in your, how it's played out in your life?
Never, that's
family,
not right at
kids, all that's being away, traveling, or the work itself?
Neither is hard. I mean, you have Daniel Day-Lewis, who submerges himself into the character, which I don't believe at all, but he sits alone and he does that. Michael Stuhlbarg, I've seen do stuff like that. I show up and I go, today I'm this guy. Let's play pretend. And I play pretend.
If it works for you, great. I'm saying everybody has to do the same thing.
Yeah, I do turn off my phone on the set. First of all, I like talking to people, and the people on the set are more interesting than
I want to stay connected
call.
To the set and the world
yeah.
I'm in.
Yes. There was a great acting teacher who I was lucky to have, Harry Mastro George. Did you ever hear of him?
I heard the name.
He was great. Ray Liotta took from him a lot. And anyway, he's pretty great. And he just said, just go play pretend. When you see kids out on a playground doing Cowboys and Indians, they go, what tribe was I from? What state? No, they go play Cowboys and Indians. And that's...
I'm going to quote you.
Yeah,
that's a great thing. When we play Astros, which Apollo mission is this?
Yeah, right. But in my head, I imagine. In my head, I've made decisions. I haven't done research, but I have made decisions in my head. This is where
You're
I'm from.
You're not Michael Dorsey. You're not Dustin's character.
Oh, right, exactly.
I was a beefsteak tomato.
but he said you have to go over the script. All the answers are in the script. That's what Harry said. Every answer you want is in the script, and that's what I do. You pore over the script. Anthony Hopkins used to do that. Read the script 30 times.
Right.
He would read it 30, 40 times. By the way, you want a great story? My favorite showbiz story. I know
sure.
we're going out. About Tom McGowan.
Let's go out on Tom McGowan.
Yeah, we'll go out on Tom McGowan. A great character actor, great guy. There's a show called La Bette. Friend of yours, Ron Silver, is the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Ron Silver, a week before they open, decides to quit. He doesn't want to open the show. Tom McGowan is the understudy. They go to Tom McGowan. They go, do you know the show? He says, of course I do. And it's a 40-minute monologue, you know, La Bette. Do you know the show? Yes. You can go on. Yes. They go, we are going to ask Kevin Kline if he wants to take over for Ron Silver. If he does, we're going to close the show, rehearse for 4 weeks, and open with Kevin Kline. If Kevin Kline says no, we're going to open on schedule in a week on Broadway with you. Can you do it? He says, of course. He goes home to call his mother. He says, Mom, they're going to ask Kevin Kline if he wants to do it. If he says no, I'm opening next week as the lead in this Broadway show. His mother goes, oh, I hope Kevin Kline says yes. I love him. It's my favorite showbiz story.
You are somebody who has that thing. You come on screen and everybody's happy.
That's nice.
They're happy to see you. They know they're going to laugh. They know they're going to think. They know that you're an intelligent comic actor, mostly comic, but you do drama as well. But you're somebody who, the minute you come on screen, everybody's happy. They're happy to be with you. They want to be with you. And that's why you need to do this until you're 95.
Knock wood, I will. but it's true. I love it.
I think you're amazing. You're so talented. Everybody in this business loves you. Everybody in the business loves you. That's a big thing. They respect you. They think you can do anything. They think you can do anything.
Well,
don't cry. Anyway, I love you.
Thank you. I love you very, very much. I love you.
My thanks to Richard Kind. This episode was produced by Kathleen Russo, Zach McNeese, and Maureen Hoban. Our engineer is Frank Imperial. Our social media manager is Danielle Gingrich. Here's the Thing is recorded at CDM Studios. I'm Alec Baldwin. Here's the Thing is brought to you by iHeartRadio.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.